Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm very excited about this daily editorial because I am introducing a new guest to the show. I think a lot of you will already know this gentleman. He goes by the handle Goldfinger. His name is Robert Sinn. He is well known on CEO.ca, also writes for the Energy and Gold website. Robert is a well-known technician and analyst in the metals space. I know a lot of your work has been referenced on our site, Robert, and I'm very excited to bring you on the show. And I will be bringing Robert on a more regular basis to touch on technicals and also some of the other advice he's been sharing with his subscribers and readers. Let's start off big picture then with the precious metals, please, Robert, talking about gold. Look, gold looks like it has bounced at least a little bit from potentially a double bottom back in March. But again, the gold bugs were talking about a double bottom back in February, dating back to late November. So where do you stand on the gold trade and this recent rebound after a 7+ month correction?
Hey Corey, it's really great to be here. I appreciate the invite. I'm a big fan of the show. I've listened to dozens of your episodes over the years. So gold and silver right now. So first of all, like, full disclosure, I'm a gold and silver bull. I own gold and silver, and I own it for very long term, secular reasons. Shorter term, gold can go up $100, drop $100, and I'm not going to sell my gold coins or my silver bars. So I'm a long-term bull, and I sort of look at the precious metals and the, resource sector from a long-term secular bull market lens, so to speak. But in the shorter term, we know that markets go through all different cycles on various time frames. And obviously gold and silver have been going through like an oscillation for many months. And in gold, it's been more of a grinding downtrend from the 2090 peak in August of 2020. But obviously that was after a $900 rise from the August 2018 low at 1167. So in the bigger picture, if we think about the weekly charts, 10, 15 year charts, it's fairly normal price action, within a broader context. But in the, on the daily chart or even like a 4 hour chart, it's a little bit, different. It's a more of a, cyclical, pullback, period, that we've been experiencing. And as you mentioned on the daily chart, gold has put in a double bottom at 1675. That's a pretty clear one, but we don't have confirmation that that bottom is super solid. And I think we would need to see a weekly close above 1775 to be able to say, okay, double bottom's in, and now the chase is on, two steps forward, one step back, as we move back above 1800 and maybe eventually back above 2000. But right now we've kind of got that reference point, that downside area around 1675, which clearly has very strong buying interest and sellers sort of get exhausted down there. Then turning to silver, silver is a more bullish chart on the daily and weekly than gold is at this exact moment in time. And silver, you could sort of say that it's making a bull flag on the, weekly chart. Obviously, there's key resistance around $30 an ounce. It bumped into that level twice in the last year, and it turned lower each time. But it also has good support in the mid-20s. So, every time it gets to, 23 or so, it bounces back very quickly. So clearly, we're in a big oscillating range-bound environment in silver on the daily and shorter time frames. But on the weekly, it's pretty exciting because silver is holding the breakout from a seven-year bottoming process between 12 and 20, essentially. So it's holding above that big range that it made for so many years. And that's bullish. So that's bullish in the bigger picture. I think silver got a little, a bit ahead of itself, probably in February on that run to 30 and all the sentiment around the silver squeeze, et cetera, et cetera. And so maybe it just needs to bore us to death in the mid-20s for another couple of months, and then eventually we are going to break above 30. And man, when silver does break out with a weekly close above 30, it's going to be powerful. I have no idea when that's going to happen. It could be next month. It could be in 3 or 4 months. It could be next year. But as long as we're holding this breakout above that multi-year range that was put in place over the last 7 years, you know, I got to like the chart here.
Yeah, fair enough. Silver does have a very different chart than gold during this last 7 months. Gold in a full-on correction. Silver, yeah, bouncing around in a range-bound sense. Let's talk again just quickly about gold, because as you said, we really need to see a weekly close of gold above that 1775. That would also correspond to a bit more of a breakout above this downtrend, right? Because essentially you draw a line from the peak through some of these other peaks. Gold still is yet to solidly break this downtrend. And it sounds a bit simple, but until it does, well, there still could be some pressure there. What do you have to say about just how important that downtrend line is as well?
Yeah, the downtrend is very important. I mean, to be honest, you know, you can make an argument that gold is still in a downtrend on different time frames if it's under 1900. You could make that argument. But, you know, we want to see higher lows and higher highs. It's really not more complicated than that. So if we do get above 1775 for a weekly close and we do $20 pullbacks and $30 or $40 advances, the trend will be in our favor again, right? We had the opposite in the first 2 or 3 months of this year, where we were dropping $50 and the rallies were much smaller. We even had some $100 down days, if I recall, the Pfizer vaccine news day and et cetera, et cetera. So there is some reason for optimism here, in my opinion, but it still needs to prove itself. And, you know, until, like you said, until that downtrend is really snapped powerfully, then, you know, you could always make a case, well, it's a bear market rally on these shorter time frames. But again, if we pull it back to the monthly and the weekly chart, this is fairly normal price action. And gold is just like this. And gold is going to frustrate the masses. I remember 2018, summer of 2018, it felt absolutely awful to be in the sector, and that was the time to be loading up and buying everything in sight, because obviously over the next couple of years, we went up $900 an ounce in gold, and a lot of the gold miners had 10x or more gains. So maybe it's going to be the same again. You know, we just need to put in a sentiment bottom where everybody's just depressed, and then it will be time to rise again.
So when it comes to the stocks, because you cover a lot of the stocks, and recently you've been writing a lot about what to look for and what to avoid in some of these stocks. Just as a broad comment, though, where are you seeing the best opportunity in some of the stocks, whether gold or silver stocks?
Honestly, I think that the more advanced stage companies, like a company I follow is Core Mining, and I'll just mention that one because I think it's so damn cheap here. And I just, you know, full disclosure, I own the stock and they're a sponsor of Energy and Gold. But, you know, these PEA or feasibility stage gold juniors that have resources and multi-million ounces. And, you know, so you have that foundation of value. It's not just a high risk gamble. Hopefully we hit some high grade gold on a big step out hole, right? Like, you know, that a bunch of these companies that have a PEA out or a feasibility study, even they might even be in the permitting process, and their ounces are being valued really low, like, you know, $20 an ounce or $30 an ounce, or sometimes even lower than that if the market deems they have risk in the permitting or what have you. But it seems to me that if you have a big base of, you know, resources in place, that's your foundation to support the market cap. And then you have exploration upside from there. And a lot of these companies have, the possibility to expand their, you know, resource, you know, with step outs, staking new claims, you know, around their existing projects. And that exploration is lower, you know, risk than just going into a wide open new target where you don't really know what's there, right? And so I think, you know, for somebody new to the sector, that's probably the place to look right now, because a lot of these companies are valued pretty cheap, in my opinion. The only way, I mean, there's obviously two main ways that you can lose in a play like that. Gold prices or silver prices can drop a lot from here, and the whole sector will, you know, will go down. You know, that's probably the main risk. And then obviously you have the risk that there's something wrong with the projects that the company's not seeing or the market's not seeing right now. And, you know, they don't get permits, not able to get financing to you know, build the project. But if you do your research and read some smart guys out there and formulate your own opinion, don't just trust me or my analysis. You want to formulate your own opinion and you want to gauge what the downside is in your estimation versus what the upside could be if gold does go back above $2,000 and maybe that company does get its permits and it does get the financing to build the mine and things go well, right? But you always want to, you always want to have sort of a margin of safety when you buy something, right? You don't want to pay $100 an ounce for those gold ounces. You want to buy, you want to pay like $20 an ounce for those gold ounces in the ground because they're not being mined yet, right? So you, that gives you the upside as the revaluation happens over the coming years as the company does advance the project and hopefully does get permits and gold does move in its secular long-term uptrend, right?
Hey, I'm with you, Robert, in terms of seeing some of these more established and de-risked projects that do carry that fundamental value in terms of resources and economic studies. They sold off hard as well, but they do, or at least they should, provide some downside protection if the price continues to drop or if the interest continues to wane in the sector. But as you said, stuff can go wrong with these projects, but if you put yourself in a good management team and with these underlying value in some of these stocks, then you're not alone, and I think correct in saying that these can be the focus, or it should be the focus for some investors. Robert, we have to wrap it up here, but very great having you on the show. I'm going to have you back on a more regular basis, as I said, and we're going to talk a bit more about some of the technicals that you're seeing and even dive into a few more of the opportunities that you are seeing, as well as where you think people should be avoiding, because let's face it, there's still a lot of companies, especially in the precious metals space, that probably should be avoided by investors. Robert, really great chatting with you. Thanks again for taking some time, and I look forward to bringing you back on the show in the near term.
Thank you, Corey. I appreciate it.